Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to get into we're going to get into prophetic presbytery, but I want to actually go back. I want to go back to last week, and I want to deal. I'm not going to start where we left off last week because there's a lot, and there's a lot I want to cover tonight. So part of your homework is to look at last week's notes, which was on the laying on of hands.
This was last week's.
That's last week's notes. Yep. So I have this week's right here, which I'll pass out to you.
Okay.
Yeah. But hold on to last week's, because we're actually going to look at the last page of last week's notes. The last page of last week's notes, where we left off, was on section 2, but we're going to skim down to section 5. We left off about the significance of the laying on of hands. And we're going to skip 3 and 4. And I encourage you to read it over. It's just, there's a lot there. I mean, within that, actually, it deals with, stemming from last week, we shared about the laying on of hands, the significance of it. And why? And we went through the scriptures, how we've seen that apostles or disciples, when people would pray or heal, that they would lay their hands on the people praying for them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just some Pentecostal charismatic expression. It's just completely biblical. And it's not to be overlooked. God bless you, Marty. But it's something that's to be seen and really recognized, because we see in the scriptures time and time again. Jesus, he laid hands on the sick. He laid hands on them, and that they came to wholeness. And there is times in scriptures where Jesus did not always lay his hands, but he, like one time where a soldier came, a Roman soldier, he says, "My servant is sick unto death." He says, "But don't come to my house. I'm not worthy. Just give me your word." Mm-hmm. And he says, "No greater faith have I seen in Jerusalem." And this is a Gentile. A Gentile. Now, in case you're wondering, I'm holding my phone because I'm recording this, and I put it on the website. And so this is like my microphone. Anyway, so he gives his word to the man, and the Bible says that in the same hour that man was made whole. Now, Jesus didn't lay his hands on him. He just spoke a word. And so I say that to say is that there are times there's an exception to the rule. You're going to find things in Scripture. Actually, Jim and I were talking about this. It was really interesting because Brother Jim, you know his testimony, how he had an encounter. He saw the Lord. He saw what, you know, eternity was like, heaven. And he was sharing with me how that there were times where he goes to share his testimony, and he's not claiming to be any biblical scholar. All he knows is, "I had an encounter." That's all he knows. And he said that there's some people who've been very critical, and so you're a little crazy and things of that nature.
Well, you'll find that.
Yeah, and you'll find that. And so I was actually sharing with him today. I said, "You know," I said, "did you know that John the disciple says at the end of the book of John that there were many more things Jesus did in his earthly ministry that he gathered not all the books in the world could even fill?" So there is much more that what Jesus did that we don't even have in our Bibles. Isn't that something? And I was sharing that with him, and I was sharing what I shared last week. I said, you know, God could do anything. And a lot of the criticism was that, well, you know, it's not in the Bible, so how can I believe what you're saying? And I was sharing this with him, and I may share it here, that God could do anything. But the problem is, a lot of times today, is that people will look at the manifestation of what God's doing, and they'll say, "Well, gee, I don't see it in the Bible." Well, let me describe what's the purpose of what's happening. Case in point. You know, I've heard services where feathers came down from the ceiling. Okay? God could do it.
Yes.
I mean, really, there's no impossibility. And
manna
I'm not...
Manna came down from heaven?
Yeah, manna came down from heaven. There's people say gold dust and all that stuff.
In Acts, fire came down.
Fire, yeah. But things that aren't even in the scriptures, I hear, has happened. Here's the main thing. Why does God move in these things? Why does he? Jesus actually explains that. See, Jesus tells a group of people, he says, listen, he said, if you're not going to believe me for what I'm telling you, then look at the miracles that's happening. Amen. Because the purpose of the miracle is to draw you back to what I have to say. It's not what I have to say so that you begin to worship a miracle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible says that there were people who gotten healed, and not all who were healed actually followed him. God reigns upon the just and the unjust. Jesus' birth was miraculous, but he's not noted in John as the miracle made manifest. He's the word made manifest. And so the whole purpose of the miraculous is to really redirect us back to the word. And a lot of times we experience such holy happenings that are legitimately God. And then what happens is we become a sucker for encamping ourselves around the experience, worshiping the experience, preaching the experience, creating a denomination around an experience rather than turning to the word. And here's my case in point. And the thing was that Peter and the disciples, they wake up out of a sleep. Jesus is being transfigured. They see Moses and Elijah. They've never seen him them before. I mean, come on. They're not even the same age. I mean, how did they know this was Moses and Elijah? It was by the inspiration of God. It was by revelation. So they see this holy happening, and if you read the account, it's amazing. They see, now I believe they were able to recognize it by inspiration. Why? It could have been Jonah. It could have been, it just happened to be Moses and Elijah. It's because of what they represented. That's why they were there. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. It's the culmination of the old covenant. And Jesus, who says, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. All that was spoken. And so what Jesus is doing in the place of prayer, he's fellowshipping with the very word of God, the law of God, the prophetic words. And so also there's a manifestation of a vision. And Jesus confirms it because Peter wakes up. He says, wow, he says, let's make temples for Moses, for Elijah, and for Jesus. In other words, man wanted to institutionalize his experience. And God stepped in. He says, thou shalt hear my son and hear him only. Because the purpose of this experience is to draw you back to my son. You know, it's like when you're sitting in a movie theater, right? Or, I'm sorry, a Broadway show or Hershey Theater. And they got the spotlight that shines on, you know, on whoever, the actor, and you're watching it. Now, you don't sit there and just sit and stare at the spotlight. You're looking at what it's shining on, right? And you don't sit there and say, my God, look at the lens on that spotlight. What kind of wattage does that thing have? No, you're looking at the purpose. You're using the purpose of that spotlight that's shining. You're looking at the person on the stage. When the Bible says that Jesus was baptized and he came out of the waters, the Spirit like a dove came and rested on him. Nobody said, ooh, look at the Spirit like a dove. Ooh, look at the Spirit like... No, no, no. God says, behold my Son. Not behold my Spirit or behold the lightning. Behold, no, look at my Son. Because the purpose of the Holy Spirit landed upon bringing us back to the person of Jesus Christ. So everything revolves around who Jesus is. And so the purpose why there might be a mighty manifestation, or like Jim, we were talking about, the purpose that why God decided to interrupt your life and expose himself to you was to get you really in the place back to understanding, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Because in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So everything is in him. You can't escape it. And so that's why Jesus says, listen, if you're not taking me from my word's sake, let the miraculous do a U-turn in your heart and mind, and you're going to discover it's going to turn you back to my word. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to remind you of the things that I not do, say. Yeah. It's to bring you to understanding truth. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. How that when you first come to Jesus, I mean, you see all of a sudden the grass looks green on the other side, and oh man, God, you know, and you're just starting to strut your stuff in your walk with God, and next thing you know, give it a little time, and sometimes you're not seeing as much manifestations happening. We often forget that the just should walk by faith. Yeah. So there are times where God's saying, listen, I could do whatever. I'm just wanting to see, are you going to take me for my word? Are you going to allow faith to have feet and walk out? Or do you constantly need a manifestation? Look at the children of Israel. Look at them. I mean, they saw...